Right now, there is a very good chance that foreign military intelligence is hiding inside that blinking plastic router sitting next to your television.
Yeah, which is just a wild thing to even say out loud.
It really is. And they are actively using it to bypass your company's million-dollar firewall. So welcome to another deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
Today, our mission is to unpack a highly critical, like incredibly time-sensitive cybersecurity advisory. This was released in April 2026 by an Orange County IT firm called Technigian.
Right, and this advisory is essential right now.
Exactly. They're breaking down two massive back-to-back warnings issued by the FBI just in the first week of April. And, you know, the reality these warnings paint is that the digital perimeter of your business is, well, it's no longer the locked door of your office building.
No, not at all.
It's thousands of living rooms.
Which completely redefines the stakes, I mean, for anyone running a business or managing a network right now. This advisory, it isn't just a hypothetical bulletin meant for federal agencies in Washington. It outlines a direct, immediate threat to the modern remote work business landscape.
Right, the people actually doing the work.
Exactly. So if you are operating in the Irvine Tech Corridor or the Newport Beach Financial District, or maybe managing a Santa Ana healthcare practice, you are operating in the exact environments currently in the crosshairs.
Wow.
Yeah. The attack surface in 2026 is it's fundamentally inverted from what it was just a few years ago.
Because the entire way we work has shifted.
Yeah.
And the vulnerabilities have just shifted right along with it.
Exactly.
So in this deep dive, we're going to explore the two major threats the FBI just flagged. We'll delve into the mechanics of how these attacks are actually executed, look at the ultimate payload they're delivering, and lay out the exact defensive playbook your business needs to survive.
Let's do it because, you know, tricking a human brain with a sophisticated digital illusion, that takes effort, even at a massive scale.
Oh, absolutely.
Before attackers even attempt to crack an encrypted password or slip past an endpoint detection system, they target the most vulnerable part of the system.
The human being.
Right. They target the cognitive biases of the person sitting at the keyboard.
Which brings us to the first major revelation from the advisory. So on April 6, 2026, the FBI released their 2025 Internet Crime Complaint Center annual report. That's the IC3 report.
Yep, the big one.
And the data regarding government impersonation scams isn't just, you know, an incremental increase, it's a structural shift.
It's massive.
Government impersonation scams essentially doubled in a single year. We're talking a jump from roughly 17,300 complaints in 2024 to nearly 32,500 complaints in 2025.
And the financial toll attached to that leap, it's approximately $797 million in documented losses.
Nearly $800 million.
Right. We are looking at almost an $800 million industry built entirely on people pretending to be government officials.
It's just staggering.
But the mechanism driving that massive spike is the critical part here. I mean, scammers have fully integrated AI-driven voice and messaging tools to convincingly impersonate these officials, and they're doing it with zero latency.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second, because hasn't the fake IRS agent on the phone scam been a thing for decades?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like, we all remember the robotic voice threatening to send the local police if you didn't go buy $500 in iTunes gift cards?
Right, exactly.
So why the sudden massive explosion of complaints? Why nearly 800 million in losses in just 12 months?
Well, what's fascinating here is how AI has completely altered the economics and really the efficiency of the scam.
Okay.
In the past, the friction point for scammers was the human element on their own end. It required boiler rooms full of people making these calls.
Right, and you can usually tell, right.
Exactly. You could often spot the scam because the caller had an inconsistent accent or poor grammar, or they simply couldn't respond dynamically when you asked them an unexpected question.
They were just reading a script.
Right. But AI conversational agents eliminate all of that friction. They are flawless. They process natural language in real time. And honestly, they cost a fraction of a cent per minute to operate.
Wow. So they aren't just making one call at a time anymore.
Not at all.
A single operator can spin up, what, 10,000 concurrent personalized phone calls?
Precisely. And because these models are trained on vast data sets of human interaction, they lean heavily into psychological manipulation. They don't need brute force threats anymore.
That's terrifying.
It is. These attacks are meticulously engineered to exploit urgency and authority.
The two biggest triggers.
Right. When a flawlessly professional voice claiming to be an auditor with the Department of Labor calls an HR manager with what sounds like a highly credible, time-sensitive compliance issue, Well, the brain's rational evaluation processes are deliberately bypassed.
They just panic.
Yes. The victim is pushed into a cognitive fight-or-flight state. They're reacting to the perceived authority rather than critically analyzing the request.
They stop thinking about security protocols entirely. They just focus on resolving the crisis the AI just invented.
Exactly.
But as effective as that is, tricking a human still requires the human to pick up the phone or click the link, right?
True.
So what if the attackers don't have to trick the human at all? What if the blinking box routing all their internet traffic just hands over the company passwords automatically?
And that is exactly what the second FBI warning revealed the very next day.
Yeah. On April 7, the FBI, alongside the NSA and 16 international cybersecurity partners, issued a joint public service announcement detailing a massive, ongoing hardware exploit.
And the threat actor they identified as top tier.
We're not talking about bored teenagers here.
No, we are talking about Russian GRU cyber actors.
Yeah.
Specifically, the military intelligence unit known as APT-28, or Fancy Bear.
Right, Fancy Bear.
And their target isn't a Pentagon server. They are actively exploiting vulnerable small office and home office routers.
The ones just sitting on the desk next to the coffee mug.
Yeah. The focus is heavily on end of support models. So hardware from Cisco, Linksys, Netgear, Asus, these are sitting in home offices long forgotten by the people who bought them.
Just collecting dust.
Exactly. And they are no longer receiving security patches from the manufacturer. These devices have known firmware vulnerabilities that are just sitting there completely exposed to the public internet.
And APT-28 has been running this campaign since at least 2024.
Yep.
The mechanism they use to exploit these unpatched routers is known as DNS hijacking. And here's where it gets really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
This DNS hijacking is essentially like a spy who, instead of trying to break through your heavily fortified front door, just quietly changes all the street signs in your neighborhood.
That's a great way to put it.
So when the mailman thinks he's delivering your sensitive letters to the bank, he's actually handing them directly to the spy's safe house.
That is the perfect way to visualize the mechanism. I mean, the domain name system, or DNS, is the phone book of the internet.
Right.
When a remote worker types their company's VPN address into their browser, the router checks the DNS setting to find out what IP address to connect to. Fancy Bear exploits the vulnerability in the router to silently change that DNS setting.
So they don't even know what's happening.
Right. So the worker types in the legitimate URL, but the compromised router points them to a flawless, invisible replica of the company login page. And that replica is hosted on infrastructure controlled by Russian intelligence.
Wow. The worker enters their credentials, maybe even proxies their authentication token, and they have no idea they just handed the keys to their corporate network directly to a foreign military unit.
None at all.
But I have to ask, why is Russian military intelligence targeting a random mid-level manager's home Wi-Fi in Orange County instead of hacking a government or corporate database directly? I mean, what does Fancy Bear want with a consumer-grade ASUS router?
Well, they want the camouflage.
Camouflage?
Yeah. The remote work explosion created a massive blind spot for enterprise security. If Fancy Bear tries to breach an Irvine defense contractor or a Newport Beach financial firm from an IP address in Moscow, the company's firewall flags and blocks it instantly.
Right, it's an obvious red flag.
Exactly. But if they hijack the home router of an employee who works for that firm, they can route their attack through that residential connection.
Oh, wow.
So when the malicious traffic hits the corporate firewall, it looks exactly like a trusted employee logging in from their usual home network in California.
So the compromised home network is just a stepping stone.
Yes, it's all about lateral movement.
They pivot from the living room router, slide right through the VPN tunnel, and establish a foothold deep inside the corporate network.
Exactly, which leads us directly to the consequence of that infiltration.
Right. Once they have that access, whether the initial vector was an AI voice clone manipulating a human, or APT-28 quietly hijacking a router, the end goal, the ultimate payload, is almost universally the same.
Extortion.
Extortion.
Yeah. Right. And returning to the findings of that IC3 report, the ransomware landscape is mutating at just an alarming rate.
It's faster than we've ever seen.
Over 60 entirely new ransomware variants were discovered in 2025 alone. We aren't just talking about the same old viruses being recycled.
No, these are highly sophisticated, newly engineered mutations. They're designed to evade existing detection tools, lock up network data, and threaten to release it publicly if the ransom isn't paid.
The double extortion tactic.
Right. And while critical infrastructure remains a top target, The report explicitly highlights that small and mid-sized businesses are disproportionately impacted by these new variants.
Which is a direct result of the efficiency we discussed earlier.
Exactly. The automation of the initial breach entirely changes who is considered a viable target.
I can see a local SMB feeling a false sense of security here, though.
Oh, absolutely. A mid-sized accounting firm in Newport Beach or a specialized dental network in Santa Ana might think they're just flying way too far under the radar to be noticed by a sophisticated AI ransomware gang or a Russian GRU unit. Are they really in the crosshairs, or is this mostly collateral damage?
This raises an important question, actually. And the brutal reality of the 2026 attack surface is that security by obscurity no longer exists.
It's just gone.
Completely. Because the AI phishing campaigns and the router vulnerabilities are exploited using automated scanning at a global scale. The attackers aren't manually picking and choosing their targets one by one.
Right. They're not sitting in a dark room typing in IP addresses.
Exactly. They cast an impossibly wide net, scanning millions of IP addresses simultaneously.
Look, they're just looking for open doors.
Just jiggling the handles. And in many cases, they actively prefer small and mid-sized businesses.
Really?
Why? Because an SMB typically lacks the dedicated 247 security operations center that a Fortune 500 company employs. That makes them incredibly easy to encrypt.
Path of least resistance.
Precisely. Because the cost of the automated attack is effectively zero, targeting 1,000 local businesses is just as easy as targeting one massive enterprise. But it meets far less resistance.
The numbers game.
Yeah. If even 5% of those small businesses pay a $50,000 ransom to avoid having their client data leaked, it is a highly profitable, low-risk operation for the threat actor.
Wow. So we've outlined a landscape where AI makes human manipulation flawless and cheap. Foreign intelligence uses our own home hardware as camouflage. And automated ransomware mutations are just hunting for soft targets.
It sounds bleak when you put it all together.
It really does. So let's move to the solution. How does a business actually survive this environment?
Well, the Technigian Advisory outlines a very specific defensive blueprint, and it fundamentally relies on building overlapping layers of defense.
Okay, where do we start?
It has to start with a hardware audit, specifically targeting the endpoints of your remote workforce.
Those home routers.
Exactly. If your employees are handling sensitive corporate data or accessing remote desktop environments from home, consumer-grade routers with rotting firmware are a massive liability.
They had to go.
They do. Businesses need to transition these critical remote workers to centrally managed enterprise-grade hardware.
Makes sense.
At the absolute minimum, any existing hardware must have active firmware support, remote management from the public internet must be disabled, and default administrator credentials must be changed.
That secures the physical box.
Yeah.
But you also need a system to catch the malicious traffic when, not if, a device gets compromised.
Yes.
And that means implementing DNS filtering. This is a system that actively checks that internet phone book we talked about earlier.
Right. Exactly.
If an employee's device tries to connect to a known malicious domain, like the replica login pages built by APT28, a cloud-based DNS security layer like Cisco Umbrella or Cloudflare Gateway intercepts and blocks the connection before the data ever leaves the machine.
And because threat actors are constantly spinning up new domains, that filtering layer has to be dynamically updated using global threat intelligence.
It's an ongoing process.
Right. But the technology is only half the battle. The human element has to be patched as well.
Training employees to recognize AI-powered impersonation.
Correct. The old advice of look for typos in the email is completely obsolete.
Yeah, the AI doesn't make typos.
Exactly. Teams must be trained on a new behavioral baseline. Any request involving fund transfers, password resets, or network access must be verified through a secondary, independent communication channel.
So you verify out of band.
Always. If an executive calls with an urgent financial request, the employee must be empowered to hang up, look up the executive's known internal number, and call them back.
That feels so counterintuitive to most employees, though. Hanging up on the boss.
It does, but urgency is the primary weapon of an AI scammer. It should always be treated as a red flag, never as a reason to bypass protocol.
And the defense that ties all of this together, the layer that both the FBI and Technigian mandate, is ubiquitous multi-factor authentication.
Yeah.
MFA.
The absolute gold standard.
It has to be enabled on absolutely everything. Email, VPNs, cloud applications, financial accounts, administrative portals.
Because MFA decouples the security of the account from the secrecy of the password.
Right.
Even if the AI flawlessly manipulates the employee into handing over their credentials or the hijacked router intercepts the login attempt, the attacker hits a wall.
Because they don't have the phone.
Right. Without that secondary authentication factor, whether it's a push notification, a hardware key, or a biometric prompt, the stolen password is fundamentally useless for establishing a new session.
So what does this all mean? We're essentially moving away from the old model of just putting a strong lock on the front door, and we are building a digital submarine.
I like that analogy.
If the AI spear phishing manages to breach the outer hull, the DNS filtering acts as the first internal bulkhead to contain the leak. If the DNS filtering fails and the user gets to the malicious site, the MFA acts as the final watertight door, keeping the core systems from flooding.
Exactly.
Let me push back a bit on the implementation here.
Sure.
Enforcing MFA on every single application can cause a lot of friction for employees who are just trying to work quickly.
Yeah.
Can't a business just invest heavily in that dynamic, cloud-based DNS filtering to catch the malicious traffic and skip the annoying extra login steps?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, relying on any single layer of security, no matter how advanced, is exactly how modern networks collapse.
Okay, fair point.
Layered security is absolutely non-negotiable because attackers adapt dynamically. DNS filtering is highly effective, but it is a cat and mouse game.
They're always evolving.
Right. APT 28 might register a brand new domain that hasn't been flagged by global threat intelligence yet. If that new domain slips past the DNS filter and you don't have MFA enabled, the attacker walks right into the network.
The submarine sinks.
Exactly. And this is why the final piece of the advisory focuses on the incident response plan. Technician's perspective is that you must operate under the assumption of a breach.
Assume you're already hacked.
It's the only safe mindset. The first 24 hours of a cyber incident dictate whether a company experiences a minor operational hiccup or an existential business-ending data leak.
The clock starts ticking immediately.
Yeah. Having a tested incident response plan, often managed by a dedicated IT provider who can provide 247 continuous detection and isolation, is what stops a compromised remote laptop from turning into a fully encrypted corporate server.
It is an intense, complex reality to accept, but ignoring it clearly isn't an option anymore.
No, definitely not.
To summarize the April 2026 landscape we've just navigated, the economics of cybercrime have been revolutionized by AI, turning government impersonation into an $800 million industry that operates with flawless automated precision.
It's incredible.
Foreign military units like the Russian GRU are actively hiding inside the end-of-life consumer routers sitting in our living rooms, using them as camouflage to breach corporate networks.
Yep.
And the payload for all of this infiltration is ransomware that is mutating faster than ever. Over 60 new variants unleashed in just a single year, aimed squarely at the small and mid-sized businesses that form the backbone of the economy.
My final piece of advice to you as you evaluate your own network after listening to this is a shift in mindset.
Okay.
You have to assume the remote infrastructure you've relied on for the past few years is already compromised.
Just assume it.
Yes. Unless it has been actively audited, replaced with supported hardware, and secured behind multiple layers of authentication, the era of set it and forget it for remote work technology is officially over.
It is a fundamentally different digital world.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to leave you with a chilling thought to ponder as we wrap up this deep dive.
Uh-oh. Let's hear it.
The source material today focused heavily on AI being used to convincingly impersonate government officials and IRS agents. But as this voice cloning and conversational AI technology gets even cheaper, and as it becomes indistinguishable from reality, what happens when the frantic, urgent phone call demanding emergency network access doesn't come from a fake FBI agent? What happens when the voice on the other end of the line sounds exactly like the CEO of your own company, and they're casually referencing a hyper-specific inside joke they just scraped from your public social media?
Wow.
How exactly do you train an employee to hang up on their own boss?